It's Patrick here at the ExchangeWise ATS event in London at the BFI on the South Bank. I'm joined by Jason Kelly from AdMeld, one of the pioneers of real-time advertising solutions bought by Google early this year. And Jason, we were just hearing in the hall there that there's nearly 500 people here at this event in London. What's your view on the health of this space and how it's developing at the moment?
Yeah, you know, extremely vibrant. Kieran O'Kane with ExchangeWise has done a great job of pulling us together. I think we had, 200 here last year at the same conference, so that's actually doubled, if not a little bit more. In that regard, and we have in attendance a host of marketers, individual brands or advertisers, agencies, agency trading desks, demand-side platforms who work closely with agencies, publishers, media companies themselves, and then where we fit in is AdMeld, a supply-side solution for publishers. So really the whole ecosystem in attendance as you look at marketers and advertisers looking to buy media in a certain way as that's evolving and how publishers are looking to sell that media to respond to that. So extremely vibrant. I think display year over year has been about a 25% increase, and that's expected to continue over the years ahead. So, a lot of revenue, a lot of activity, and a lot of technology and innovation coming into the space.
So, for the media brief, most of our readers tend to be on the content side. They're publishers. They're people with inventory. They're looking to monetize somehow. So, for someone that may not be particularly aware or au fait with the real-time bidding thing with the supply side solutions that you give, what could they get from your suite of products that could make them some money?
Sure. So publishers and a majority of our company, founded almost 4 years ago in 2007, come from the publishing side of the world. I, before coming to AdMeld as the chief media officer, spent almost 2 years with Time Inc. Within New York, and my role as vice president of digital there was to any of the inventory that wasn't taken to market on behalf of the individual sites, such as People.com, Sports Illustrated, CNN Money, any of that inventory that wasn't sold directly to a specific advertiser that's left unsold in that regard really came into my group, and we would work with companies like AdMeld to monetize that at scale and take that to the buy side. Originally, our charter as AdMeld was to help facilitate relationships with third-party ad networks, and as those companies were looking to aggregate supply on behalf of publishers, you had up to 400 ad networks in play. So we would be that infrastructure of technology to help ad networks optimize those ad networks on behalf of publishers, and that has evolved now into what is, as you referred to, what is this trend of real-time bidding, where you have demand-side platforms doing that at real-time, at scale. A publisher needs to deploy their inventory into a platform after that direct sold piece. Yeah. So think of two tiers of inventory, your direct sold and your indirect sold. We're the infrastructure for that indirect sold element and taking that to various demand sources, whether that be ad networks, demand-side platforms, or direct to agencies.
Sure. And in the past few months, I imagine things have been stepped up slightly because you've got a new owner. You're part of a much bigger ecosystem now. So can you say anything about what the Google deal has done and what direction you're in now? Because you're now, in partnership with the biggest company there is.
Sure, good question. So just some background on that. So Google declared their intent to acquire AdMeld back in June. And since that time, we're actually going through a process now, a standard process by which the U.S. Department of Justice is reviewing that deal. So we haven't been integrated or completely acquired, so to speak. So there's this last step that's underway.
So the Department of Justice has asked for more information on that. Do you know what the time frame is?
Yeah, it's part of their standard process for certain deals of a certain size, and they're going through their paces. Every indication that we've been given directly from the DOJ and the process is that it's going as standard, as expected, and would expect this deal to close in due course once they're through with that process.
So is there a master plan? Have you been plotting in a bunker somewhere how you're going to revolutionize online technology?
That's a great question. We've been plotting how we're going to revolutionize online technology for the past 4 years as AdMeld, and we'll continue.
But now there's a multi-billion-dollar company paying to do that.
Well, we'll continue to your question, we'll continue to do that. I mean, we've been in business doing one thing very particularly well, which is to service publishers with technology and people, and we very much will continue down that path. So by being at conferences like this, both this year and post this deal closing, we'll continue to, you know, hyper-service and provide solutions on the publisher side.
In terms of the Department of Justice investigation, and is that just a standard antitrust procedure, or do you think that there's something specific about online advertising and the kind of products that you have that actually scares regulators and maybe get some possible commercial partners or consumers confused? I mean, there's privacy legislation coming in Europe, and I know there's similar legislation in the US. Are these all problems for you?
No, again, I think through with certain types of deals, as they meet a certain price threshold and other type criteria, there's a standard review that the Department of Justice goes down. Again, I'm not an expert as a lawyer in regard to that process, but it's really just basically going through the paces in terms of the review, and we're on pace in that regard.
One thing I think that you're speaking here later today on various things, but one thing is the private exchange, which, for example, with Universal, and I know there's others. So you're in favour of creating a private exchange. It's actually a closed ecosystem for buyers and sellers. So could you tell me why that works?
Yeah, great question. Again, this was something that came out of my time at Time Inc., which was, you know, we had great brands. We thought we had pretty good scale with regard to having almost 50 million uniques. And the one piece that we needed was the technology to be able to facilitate that those types of buying in that regard. But even with 50 million uniques, we didn't have the types of the aspect of scale to compete with portals and ad networks, for that matter. So the aspect or potential of potentially partnering with other publishers, or publishers potentially coming together to aggregate their scale across different verticals, was something of interest. And you have a company like Quadrant One within the United States, which is a newspaper consortium and an independent company representing that inventory at scale. They've created their private exchange where they're facilitating, with technology, with AdMel technology, direct relationships and partnerships with agency trading desks and individual agencies versus a general exchange, which has value. And there are a lot of general exchanges out there, but there's less transparency. There's less understanding of what sites are being represented in that marketplace, and also what advertisers are buying. In a private marketplace or direct relationship between a supplier or a publisher and a buyer, there's really additional transparency and much better insight and value there directly versus having an intermediary potentially extract that value for themselves. And
sure.
So we've hosted and launched a number of private exchanges within the United States, and some of that trend is definitely coming here as well.
Because it almost seems to be something of a paradox for a company that I'm sure will soon be owned by Google, Google is the byword for openness and transparency, and it's open platform software, and it's transparency, although perhaps not in online advertising, some would say. So there's no conflict there between Google's openness and your enthusiasm for private networks.
I don't think so. I mean, again, both are successful. I'm a big fan of open systems. And our platform, by nature, is open. It's just enabling a publisher to set and create their own business rules. So we're facilitating for the publisher to choose how they would like to set up their environment versus being beholden to a technology company to say, these are the rules that you have to subscribe to. So it's early days in this regard. But the one thing we have seen is that agencies and publishers are very much aligned about wanting to work directly.
Yes.
And now they both have technology, demand-side platforms, sell-side platforms, to facilitate doing so. And the ability to set up those business rules on both sides is really, I think, what is most valuable to both sides.
And in terms of the big picture, in terms of the thing that most of our readers are worried about, is keeping display advertising revenues coming in. In a big way, and preferably bigger than they were last year. We've not seen that happen recently. How do you create an advertising ecosystem that matches the high quality content that publishers need? You were a publisher yourself, or you were on the media side yourself. So how can we do that?
Repeat the question one more time.
So if we have high quality content, but we lack the high quality advertising that has the relevance to users, so how can we reverse that?
I think, you know, attribution and valuation. You know, I think value comes in the eye of the beholder in that regard, and we're still measuring the value of context, the value of environment. This is the same thing that everybody talks about at these types of conferences. But it's true. Like, we're still beholden and held down to this last click standard. That, you know, if you aren't producing clicks on behalf of an agency, there's no value, and that's absolutely not the case. We know that context matters. We know that the value of the audience that come to branded content sites. has incremental value, but we're not able to measure that in conjunction with the actual value of that independent user coming to that site. So there's still a long way to go in that regard. We've talked every year about attribution and how we can appropriately value premium. What does premium mean? You know, difficult. It's kind of, you know it when you see it, and we have a long way to go in that regard. So we'd love to facilitate. We're having lots of conversations with, you know, various measurement companies and trying to help and working closely with a lot of the companies in the room about how do we, again, create more transparency and openness to establish what that value means. One conversation I'll be having today is with the co-CEO of Havas Digital, Anthony Ryan, and we were talking yesterday in preparation for the discussion today, but their challenge is that we have all of this, you know, we have 400 people today trying to innovate and disrupt and change how media is bought and sold. The agency, Anthony's role, he still has to ultimately sell this through to a marketer or a brand who pays all of our bills.
Yeah.
Right? They pay publishers, they pay the agency, they pay the technology companies. That's where those dollars come from. So even though we've built all of these new mousetraps and this new workflow, and he still has to go, you know, simplify that and sell that to an actual brand, that's not easy to do. And it doesn't happen overnight. And so to create new metrics and to create a new way of looking things in the long term versus the short term is definitely a challenge.
Sure. And in terms of the long view, so you've just been acquired or just about to, and when people buy companies, there's always a long view. There's always what's going to happen in 5 years, what's going to happen in 10 years. So what's the 5-year picture, do you think, for this industry, for the ad tech that you have and for your company?
Yeah, look at where we were at 5 years ago to 2 years ago to today. Lots of companies, I had a quote from someone a couple of months ago where someone said, we don't have a problem of fragmentation in terms of all of these companies rushing into space. We have a problem of duplication where we have a lot of companies stacked up doing a lot of the same things. And so the types of companies that have been at this the longest, we've been at this 4 years, coming up on 4 years, there's a lot of very bright, very intelligent people solving very hard problems. And I think a lot of those companies are, I think there's some separation happening in that regard, and you're seeing some of, you know, some of those companies who are more successful. But where do we go 5 years from now? I think it's been great to see in the past year there's been a tipping point where I've never seen publishers speak as intelligently and as in an articulate manner, followed up by investing in technology and partnership with companies such as ourselves to solve the problems that and opportunities that are here. Mm. There's sometimes publishers get a bad rap for being late to the market or not investing in the people to harness the technical ability that's available. I think that's changed. We had a partner forum last year in February where I hosted a panel with CBS, NBC, IDG was there, Fox News, and they were completely conversant, very up to speed. They all had a vision of where the next 3 to 4 years were going, and they're all leaning into what they needed to do in order to capture as much opportunity as possible in terms of revenue. So I think that's the biggest change I've seen in the past year, where historically we maybe look, you know, we're content companies, you know, we're good at producing high quality content, journalism, monetization of that content. The buy sides, I think, evolved much faster than we have as a publishing community. And I think we've caught up now and we have an opportunity to get out and lead.
Yeah. And in terms of numbers, in terms of how big the industry could be, how many do you think? You had a white paper recently, I thought, from Forrester.
Correct.
But in terms of looking ahead, are we going to be a multi-billion?
For sure.
In this industry?
Undoubtedly.
When do you think?
I think we looked, and don't refer to this study if you could for the accurate number, but we looked at almost a doubling. And again, we get very caught up in some of the, you know, there's a hype cycle with any new technology. And even 400 people here today, we're very excited. We're very excited about what we're bringing to the market. But it is still, in the media, overall media buying and selling landscape, it's still a very small part. And we often counsel ourselves around that. But within that part, it's at a rate of doubling. I mean, it was, again, don't quote directly, it was last year, it doubled this year to a billion, 1.1 or a little bit more. We expect that to double again. Again, for this aspect of real-time bidding or programmatic buying and selling, the demand side, those companies themselves who ultimately control how fast this happens, in addition to the sell side, their revenues are doubling year over year.
Okay, so just last one from me. That's very optimistic and that's very positive if that continues to grow and media continues to be monetized and you can help people do that. But is there not a danger in assuming that the overall advertising spend is going to rise? Because what we've seen is a real slowdown of spending from brands, spending from consumers. The economy's struggling at the moment. There's a lot of gloom at the moment. Is there not a danger in assuming that that's always going to grow?
So again, I tried to reference around, this is a very small part of the ecosystem. There are definitely headwinds facing the overall advertising landscape as the stock market continues to do what it's doing, as the, you know, the European overall economic marketplace. I think Italy just got downgraded, for example. For sure, the overall advertising landscape is a much different growth rate across all mediums. This is one particular aspect of digital that is just growing significantly because of the efficiencies and the effectiveness it brings. So again, I think 5% or maybe even 10% of total display going this way, that number on a very small base is doubling, but the overall advertising landscape is definitely facing potential headwinds as marketers are responding to consumers spending less. Marketers pull budget and they try to match that exuberant or lack of exuberance in the market. So there are definitely headwinds overall.
Okay, cheerful note to finish on. Yes. Thank you very much.
you pushed.